Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we're going through the scripture here. I'd like you to take the time when you get a chance to go visit my website at crosstheborder.org and do subscribe to my blog there to follow that so you can be notified of any new articles that appear. I don't put up new articles every day, so you won't be barraged with emails. There you can see interesting articles. You can watch every chapter of the Greatest Prophecy DVD, which you just may have heard about during the break there. And you can watch it for absolutely free. All you have to do is subscribe to the blog, and I'll send you a password so you can access the high-definition chapters of that DVD online and watch it at your own leisure. Of course, we do like if you support. Actually, you can send a support donation. We'll send you the DVD so that you can view it at your own leisure or give it away or duplicate it and give it to friends. It doesn't matter to me. It's what I do in his service. I have literally spent thousands of hours producing that DVD, so I hope that people will appreciate it. Okay, we're here in Samuel, and I guess I should have bookmarked my spot. Oh yeah, Saul saw the host of the Philistines, and he was afraid. Saul inquires of the Lord, and the Lord did not answer him, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. And what is, Urim, the brilliancy by the high priest. Basically, that's a symbol for the high priest, because they wore that plate of stones on their breast, the breastplate, nor by prophets. And we've discussed why, the Heavenly Father will not speak to us if we're not obedient to Him. Why should we expect, if we're not willing to live our life in a way that's pleasing Him, if we're not willing to give Him our life, as actually it belongs to Him anyway, He already owns us, but if we're not willing to do anything for Him, perhaps except a few token things. Because, Saul probably thought, hey, I'm pretty good. Look what I did. I put away the familiar spirits, and I put away the wizards. Come on, God. Give me something. Look, I'm a good man. I did these good things. But he also killed the priest. He pursues the Heavenly Father's anointed. And he's pretty much an evil and churlish man. Basically, that's what Saul is. So, the Heavenly Father did not answer him by any means. Then said Saul to his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. He just drove them all out, didn't he? Now he's asking them to go find one, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself, and he put on other raiment. And he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring him up, whom I shall name unto thee. Now, Saul couldn't get an answer from our Heavenly Father, so he's going to go seek an answer from demons, right? Okay. Then said the woman, who shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said to her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said to Saul, I saw God descending out of the earth. And that's a small g, gods there. And he said to her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. Now here's the thing, is it really Samuel? I don't know. But it says he perceived that it was Samuel. So I'm not going to jump to any conclusions here yet. I know that there are those that have familiar spirits. And what is a familiar spirit? Perhaps we should discuss a familiar spirit. Familiar. Well, you use the word familiar. If something is familiar, that means you know it well, or it knows you well. From the word familial, or family, right? It's a family spirit, a familial spirit. So you have one here that conjures up familial spirits. So you go to look for a familial spirit, and you're going to have a spirit that knows things. It's familiar. You know, people go to, well, someone like this, they're around here today. I see their little houses all painted pink or purple or whatever, and they have funny symbols on them, and they, Madame, whatever, the prophetess, and palm reader. Yeah, you've all seen them. They're out there all over the place. They have familiar spirits. And if you're like Saul, guess what you have? You have familiar spirits. And when they put up a sign saying familiar spirits or palm reading or anything like that, these are all symbols, they're all the same thing, what they do is they draw in people who have familiar spirits. And I ask you, what are these familiar spirits? What are they familiar with? Well, they're familiar with you and your family. They may have been dogging your family for hundreds of years. So they're very familiar. Okay, so you go to one that hath a familiar spirit, and you conjure up someone you know. You say, I want to speak to my dead cousin, you know, Vinny or whatever. And you go into the palm reader's thing, and she brings up a familiar spirit, and those familiar spirits start communing. And see, those familiar spirits, they know everything you know. They've been hanging out with you and your family. They know things about your father and your mother and your brother. They know things that you never told anybody. So when the one that has the familiar spirits, when she or he or whoever says things like, oh, you know, remember that day? And you never told anybody about that. Or you and your father had that conversation. And you go, wow, it must really be, right? And so you're deceived. It really is. It's not really that they bring up your dead cousin or your father or whoever it is you're trying to conjure up, or even Samuel here, you know. Although I'm sure other things can happen. Anything can happen. Some people could say that Samuel was really there, or that the Heavenly Father arranged it to rebuke Saul. That could be too, you know. That doesn't mean that's going to work for you if you, with your familiar spirits, go visit another one that has familiar spirits so they can commune and make you go, wow, how did they know that? It must be true. It must really be my long-lost cousin Vinny, or must really know my father. No one else knew that. No one ever heard us have that conversation except those familiar spirits did. They know things about you and your family that whoever you're going to see could never know because they've been there. Those familiar spirits, they follow families around for generation upon generation. That's right. If your parents have them, well, they're in your life too. And there's only one way to throw them off. And that is by the blood of the Lamb and obedience to the King and His kingdom and His laws. So there's your little primer on familiar spirits, you know. And there is no one that follows the Messiah that is living in His kingdom. Because if you go by down the road and you see the palm reader there, the one with the familiar spirits, see, because if you're living in the kingdom of God, if you are traveling in the kingdom of heaven, and He is your King and you're living by His law, you will not stop there. You will not go into one that hath a familiar spirit, because it is prohibited by the law of His kingdom. That's right. You will not go in there for answers. You will wait upon the Lord. That's right. You will wait upon Him from whom your strength comes. If He doesn't give you an answer, you will say plainly, I must not need an answer right now. I'm supposed to walk by faith. Okay? We don't need the answer. We don't need to know the future. And so when you go into these familiar spirits, you're just falling into a trap. And you're believing you're being deceived, deceiving yourself. So He said to her, what form is he of? And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou may make known to me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord Yahuwah is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spoke by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. You know, so here we have something that, you know, different. This is not going to happen. I guess it could happen. You could get a strong rebuke. But Saul goes in, and I perceive that Samuel answers him, that our Heavenly Father arranges it. It's not by the power of the one who has familiar spirits. This had never happened to her before, I'm sure of it. Nothing like this had ever happened to her before. But it was arranged for Samuel to speak to him from paradise. That's right, that place in paradise. If you read through the gospel, and perhaps, you know, this is a little bit of conjecture, but I believe this is pretty safe and harmless conjecture, that it was arranged for Samuel to answer Saul from paradise at this instance and plainly speak to him, because he seems pretty dumb, you know, if he hasn't figured it out by now. So he gets answered, you know, by Samuel apparently here. But this is not, you know, like I said, it's still unlawful for you. It was unlawful for Saul to go to this one that had a familiar spirit. It's unlawful for you. If you want to live and walk and in his kingdom and remain there, then you don't do these things. You don't go after familiar spirits. You wait upon Yahuwah. You wait and you continue and endure in his kingdom, crucifying the deeds of the flesh, living that lifestyle of repentance, learning obedience to his law and his commandments, because he is your king and you want to remain in his kingdom. As a matter of fact, you fear what would happen to you. I mean, I do. I fear what would happen to me if I didn't remain in his kingdom. I think the scripture makes it quite clear what will happen. So Saul fell straightway all along on the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all day, nor all night. And the woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled, and said to him, behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto thy words, which thou spokest unto me. Now therefore I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants together with the woman compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hastened and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. And then they rose up and went away that night. Chapter 29 of 1 Samuel, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed in the rearward with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews here? And Achish said to the princes of the Philistine, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which has been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me this day? And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us, for wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master, should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David of whom they sang one to another dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000s? Yeah, these guys were afraid of David and his band of 600 men. Then Achish called to David and said unto him, Surely, as the Lord, and we have here recorded the name, as Yahuwah liveth, thou hast been upright in thy going out and coming in with me in the host, is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. And that's a small L-O-R-D-S, is speaking of the other princes. They favor thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines. And David said to Achish, But what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord, the king? And Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight, as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, He shall not go up with us to the battle. Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee, and as soon as you be up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. And it came to pass, chapter 30 and verse 1, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. So the Amalekites took an occasion when David and his company had withdrawn to go up with the Philistines, a very short occasion, and when they returned here, they smote Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of Yahuwah, saying, Shall I pursue after the troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, and he took the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook of Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 men abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook, Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. When he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said to him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me, because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me, nor deliver me unto the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before those other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David, and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men, and the men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." Then David said, "You shall not do so, my brethren, with that which Yahuwah hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For whoso will hearken unto you in this matter, but as his part that goeth down into battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, they shall part alike." And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, "Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to them which are in Bethel, and to them which were in the south Ramoth, and to them which were in Jitar, and to them which were in Or-Eor, and to them which were in Sifmoth, and to them which were in Eshtemoah, and to them which were in Rachel, and to them which were in the cities of the Jeremelites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, and to them which were in Hormah, and Chorashan, and to them which were in Atak, and to them were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt. And that's the end of chapter 30. You're listening to Cross the Border. Take a few minutes to go by my website. Please email me and give me an encouraging word or challenge anything.